once in a while as Catholics, it is important that we do a little bit of catechesis, which is we come to understand more deeply the teachings of our faith. What do we believe as Catholics, and why do we believe that which we believe? And today I want to focus on this, a teaching that I would imagine for a good percentage of us is entirely new. Maybe even we've never heard it before, or at least there's some confusion about it. Why do we celebrate this day on February 2nd? What is the significance? We celebrate the presentation of our Lord every year on February 2nd. Why? Because February 2nd falls precisely 40 days after December 25th. 40 days after the birth of our Lord. And for the Jewish people, when a firstborn male son came along, what would they do 40 days after the delivery of that child? There were three things that took place on that day. First was the purification of the mother. Second was the redemption of the child. They would offer sacrifice. In our Lord's case, that was two turtle doves. And thirdly, that child would be presented in the temple. Why 40 days? Why not 10 days later? Or 3 weeks later? Or 30 days later? Because for the Jewish people, when a mother gave birth to a child, because of the loss of blood that would take place in that act, she was considered impure. She was considered impure for 7 days. Why 40 then? Because they felt that only when a full cycle of blood flowed through the mother anew, which they believed took 33 days, was the purification complete. So 7 and 33, 40 days later. A couple of years ago, I was reading Pope Benedict XVI's work on our Lord Jesus Christ, and I discovered something that really surprised me. He said this: there was absolutely no reason whatsoever for Mary to be purified, because she did not lose any blood in the act of giving birth to Jesus. She did not lose any blood in the act of giving birth to our Lord. Did you know that? And do you know why that is the case? Not too long ago, I was reading a work by St. Ignatius of Antioch. St. Ignatius of Antioch was born in the year 35. He died in the year 107. And when Ignatius was a young man, he encountered the Apostle John, who was out spreading the gospel to all the world. And he became a follower of John. In the year 67, he was appointed as the third bishop of Antioch. Do you know who the first bishop of Antioch was? Simon Peter. Peter the Apostle, before he became the bishop of Rome, he was the bishop of Antioch. So Ignatius was specially chosen by Peter to become the bishop. So someone who knew John closely, Peter closely, and also tradition holds St. Paul. So after the apostles, this man, what he taught, is some of the most trustworthy doctrine that we have as Christians. And he said this. He said, there are three realities that escaped the attention of the evil one. There are three things that God concealed from Satan. And he said they are these. First, he said, was Mary's virginity. Second, he said, it was Mary giving birth. And thirdly, it was our Lord's death on the cross. And I read that and thought, well, how could he not have been aware of our Lord's death on the cross? He goes on to say, not that he did not know that Jesus had died, but that he thought in that moment that he had become victorious, because he did not know that he would rise. It was concealed for him, the fact that he was both fully God and fully man, that he could only die in his humanity. Why did our Lord conceal Mary's virginity? Because all the Jewish people were awaiting the Messiah who would be born of a virgin. And so one of the reasons why she was espoused to Joseph, so that they could hide the fact of her virginity, so that no one would know. Because could you imagine if everyone around knew at the time when Our Lady was pregnant that she was a virgin? How differently things would have played out. But thirdly, and most importantly for today, the act of giving birth to Jesus. Why would God hide that from the knowledge of the devil? Because he would have known immediately, since there was no blood lost and there were no labor pains, that an incredible miracle had taken place and she was giving birth to the Messiah. When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the curse that Eve inherited? What from that moment on would every woman who became a mother have to suffer in the act of giving birth? She would have labor pains. My brothers and sisters, that was not part of God's original plan. It was a result of sin. Our Blessed Mother Mary, we believe by faith, was a virgin before giving birth, after giving birth, and in the very act of giving birth to our Lord. And I want to read you what the Catechism says about that moment. Mary's virginity was real and perpetual, even in the act of giving birth. In fact, Christ's birth did not diminish his mother's virginal integrity, but sanctified it. Okay, so you might be out there wondering, what does this have to do with our faith? Why does it matter? Why would we even focus on this? Who cares if Mary was a virgin always, and even in the very act of giving birth? There are three reasons that come down from the fathers of our faith. The first is this. When God created all things, he made an initial man and woman, an Adam and an Eve. St. Paul says that our Lord Jesus Christ is the new Adam, the one through whom the recreation of all things would take place. If our Lord Jesus Christ is the new Adam, who is the new Eve? But our Blessed Mother Mary. And because the redemption of all things began in her, new life came through her. She would not suffer the consequences of Eve's sin. That she would not have to have labor pains. Secondly, the Father said that when our Lord Jesus Christ, from all eternity, as he comes forth from the Father does not change in begetting his Son. And so the Father chose that as a reflection of that being begotten virginally from all eternity, our Lord Jesus Christ's mother would not change in bringing him forth into the world. Her virginity would be a reflection, in a sense, of God the Father's virginity. And lastly, our Blessed Mother Mary is the personification of the Church. The Church, the body of Christ, was first formed in her. As the representative of the Church, God desired that she would remain a virgin always, because the Church always was to be forever virginal. How is the Church the virgin bride of Christ? What never changes in the Church? That which we believe by faith, and that which is the moral teaching of the Church, we believe what the apostles believed 2,000 years ago. The Church, in her doctrine, is always a virgin. And I close with this. Our Blessed Mother Mary remained a virgin because she wanted to be totally open to the will of God. And anyone who decides to be open to his will, like Our Lady, suffers times of great darkness. She had to walk by faith just like every single one of us. Her soul was pierced with a sword. This is what Benedict XVI says. The one who, like Mary, is totally open to God, comes to accept the will of God, even when it is mysterious. even if it does not correspond to our own will, and the effect of it is that a sword pierces our hearts. We ask Our Lady to preserve our faith, and that we might imitate her in always doing the will of God, even when we don't understand it.